More of that discussion when we return, inshallah, after 7 o'clock. But for now, the Western Cape, right, to enhance the training of its law enforcement officers, the city of Cape Town has introduced a cutting-edge firearm simulator. Now, I've seen one of these simulators before, right? And it all depends on the type of simulator that you want to use. You get a domestic variety, by the way. But let's get some more information about this latest technology that the city of Cape Town has invested in. Now, this simulator, resembling what one may call a video game, aims to improve split-second decision-making in high-intensity situations where legal force is crucial. Now, by providing realistic scenarios and utilizing specially adapted firearms, the city is revolutionizing its approach to officer training. Well, J.P. Smith, Cape Town Mayoral Committee member for Safety and Security, joins us this morning to give us more information. Good morning, J.P.
Good morning, sir.
And thank you for joining us. J.P., can you elaborate on how the firearm simulator works and its resemblance and how this will improve, response by the police in Cape Town?
All right. So we have two of them, and it consists of three large screens with projectors that project an image that effectively then wraps around the officer. You have your peripheral vision occupied by the screen as well. And there are cameras that also observe the person being trained. And then there's a console for the instructor to control and to escalate or de-escalate the situations and choose the scenarios. So the officer is never sure exactly how the scenario will end and whether the assailant is going to resort to lethal force themselves. And this is not just about training officers to be accurate with firearms, because you can use it just as a simulator for shooting accuracy, but also on the handling of a firearm, the appropriate use of lethal force, so that the officer gets to practice scenarios in which he or she is presented with dangerous situations where at some point they have to resort to lethal force, but where they have to try and de-escalate the situation, and that they need to make sure that they don't make their decision in the wrong way. And so that the first time the officer has to do that, and when that happens to the officer in real life, it's not the first time they're confronted with a situation like that. And they have that discretion and discernment exercised and practiced in a safe environment where an instructor can look at them and say, well, at this point you drew your firearm, and you can play the video back to them and debrief them and say, yeah, you drew your firearm. You aimed your firearm, you directed it at this point. Yeah, your finger went onto the into the trigger guard, and so that the officer understands in terms of the law where he or she was in their right and where they acted incorrectly, so that we do not ever needlessly take a life, and that, because that's a very serious thing for an officer to do with major consequences, and it's not fair to present an officer with that scenario for the first time in real time and expect them in a split second to take the right decision that impacts on the rest of their life. So this is for the safety of the public, for the safety of our officers, and to make sure that we improve their understanding of their and the public's rights.
JP, I'm assuming, of course, that this simulator will also include scenarios amongst the potential, well, hundreds of scenarios that could be presented by to a officer on the ground, that wherein you have a high density area, wherein you would have, you know, many innocent civilians, or even a hostage situation, or even a potential victim or a suicide situation that could prevail. And I'm sure of that a number of those scenarios are also included in the simulator.
Right. There are hundreds of scenarios in this one. I think they said 700. And I have seen probably about 50 of them. They involve response situations where the officer responds to a scene and finds people in conflict already, and it's not clear who the aggressor is or not, and who is in the right or the wrong. hostage situations, conflicts in an office, a drug deal in a park, and scenarios in schools, in different environments, in shopping malls, and so forth. So what we obviously have is that these are all American. They are set in settings in U.S. cities, and the language used is English, but obviously with American accents and American actors. So we are going to, as soon as we can, start trying to develop some of our own scenarios that include informal settlements and actors that are identifiably South African, who speak in South African languages, etc., just to make sure that the immersion and authenticity of the scenarios is improved.
JP, the investment, of course, in technology is welcomed by any police department to assist in difficult situations. Somehow, it seems that investment in psychology training, that where officers and law enforcement, individuals are now trained and equipped to diffuse situations by practicing what I may call soft skills. Not to say that that's the case in the Western Cape, but quite often it seems to be overlooked in favor of hardware, your guns, your training, your bulletproof vests. Has the Western Cape, has Western Cape policing also invested in these type of soft skills to liaise with the community, to identify leaders, to make sure that they are part and parcel of the walking community so that they are observed as civilians rather than, military officers?
So I think that's a very accurate insight by you and an accurate description. That I can't speak for what the National Police Service is doing at the moment, but I can tell you that in the past, when our training capacity was very minimal, we were under constant pressure to train officers and to produce more police officers when budget was made available. And for the last years, we've been steadily growing 100, 200 officers a year. And during LEAP, we suddenly had to train up 1,300 officers. And we had the rail enforcement unit and we had the facility protection officers. So we've had under constant situations where suddenly an extra 100 or 200 are required. Hence Project 1000, where for the first time we're training proactively. And in the past, because the training college capacity was very limited, we trained only on the bare essentials before putting those officers out on the ground. That changed 2 years ago when we got significant additional funding and our college expanded the type of training our college could therefore do, hired specialist trainers and started focusing much more on the soft skills like conflict resolution, like ethics and civics training, that officers understand their role in society, their role as a neighborhood officer, community-orientated policing methodology and philosophy, so that the officers can think a little bit differently about their role, is that it's not about a militarist, jackbooted approach to policing, but rather the winning the hearts and minds of the public to be on your side, and that's important. And with that comes things like the skills, the softer skills also around shooting. It's not just about shooting competency and proficiency, being able to draw a firearm, direct it, and accurately shoot, which is the only thing traditionally we tested for. This now adds another dimension to your competency, and that will get worked into our curricula and into the competency requirements as well. And we've added other things like physical fitness training. We now have quarterly assessments for all of our staff that's being introduced, and they will need to earn a certificate from the physical training instructors that says that they are physically fit, and that certificate will determine their ability to apply for promotion, to apply for overtime or undertake overtime, etc., etc.
JP Smith, thank you for joining us on radio this morning with that update. And let's see how, of course, your stimulator works with the new intake, as well as those who are currently receiving their training and then ongoing training, and hopefully get some reports on that simulator a little later on. Thank you for your time, JP Smith.
Thank you, sir. And remember, the bottom line is just keep doing better policing for the community and keeping the residents and our officers safe. It's a horrible thing to have to go to speak to the family of an officer when he or she has been murdered on duty. And the fewer times that happens, the better. So that's the goal here. Better quality policing. That's not something that at the moment is highly, or that is readily available in South Africa. And so we have to improve that. And thank you very much for your interest in the matter today.
JP Smith from the Western Cape, of course, Policing Committee.